this week marks the 23rd anniversary of Bob McKenzie torching you in the hockey news. And you believe it cost you first overall status.
I was rated by Central Scouting 1.
Who went first that year?
Ed Jovanovski.
2?
Oleg Tverdovsky.
Holy smokes. Okay. Hard shot, though, I will say. Left shot, hard shot. 3?
Radek Bonk.
Yeah. Okay.
4 is where it gets real dicey.
4?
Jason Bonsignor.
I'll bet you Bobby Mack loved Bonsignor. Did he pump his tires? We should try.
You know what
Bond
Sr. had going for him?
He looked exactly like
Mario Lemieux. Like, skated like him, kind of tucked his shirt in. Like, he looked exactly like him. That was where it stopped.
Yeah. It's a great play move, like though. Him. Isn't that a great move, though? Look exactly like an all-time great.
Yeah.
And then the scouts are like, I got to be honest, I just see Mario out there.
Well, if you grow a mustache, are you going to coach like Joel Quenneville? Like, that's
smoke
ridiculous.
Cigars and go to the Kentucky Derby, I guess you could.
It just... Boy, that you think that scouting report helped? Now I'm looking back on it.
It might not have.
Ed Jovanovski was a really good player. I will say that. I thought he was good. Radek Bonk, he came over at, I think he played in Las Vegas.
Did he?
He came out of Vegas. 17-year-old. I played against him.
Well, do you want me to read just a couple of the highlights out of Bobby Mack's breakdown, his scouting report of the O-Dogs?
I want the last paragraph.
Okay, let me read the first one, then you read the last one.
Okay.
There are a few players in the draft as inconsistent as Guelph Storm center Jeff O'Neill. Few as talented either. All right, what's the last one?
O'Neill is no physical specimen, but speed and smarts compensate. He had a plethora of minor health problems. Plethora or plethora?
Plethora.
Okay, sorry. He had a plethora of minor health problems this season, which he hopes are behind him after having his tonsils removed after the season.
Couple things. Have you guys ever seen Three Amigos?
Yes.
Plethora? Plethora? It's a plethora. Remember that? El Guapo? He's like, what does plethora mean? Tell me what plethora means.
You will die
means.
Like dogs.
El Guapo.
That movie is underrated.
Very underrated. And secondly, that's the first correction since we put the money in the pot. I think the O-Dog just made himself $40 because he kind of sewered Noodles. He could have let that go, and you sewered him by correcting
him. He did sewer me.
That's a $40 hauler.
That's a $40 haul, exactly. Okay. All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's happening, Ray?
Don't need no stinking sweaters.
Such a good movie, huh?
So when they're sitting on their horses doing that stupid handshake thingy, I'm like, look at these donkeys. This is so good.
It's so good. They think they're going to, like, it's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Cameras
like,
and
tell us you will die like dogs. You will die like dogs. No, we won't. El Guapo.
El Guapo. That guy is terrifying.
El Guapo was the man.
Yeah, he was the man.
That was a good character. By the way, I don't think... You should take that from Bobby Mack.
It's laces out, man.
Like the no physical specimen thing. It's outrageous.
Yeah, like I was 176 pounds when that was written.
And you know Bobby was chowing on a cheeseburger when he was writing that stuff.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of being the writer, man. No
it's like
one
Hitch
cares.
Coming in, going into Hitch's office and him telling you he's worried about your body fat.
How did you just sit there, seriously?
I don't know.
Because you're 17 or 18, right?
There's actually a great line in the middle, that could probably apply to O-Dog's, even professional life right now. But unlike the maniacal Gilmore, O'Neill's competitive spirit goes totally AWOL at times. Sometimes it's only for a shift, sometimes entire games.
So you're saying replace shift with segments and games with show, and you've essentially broken down his broadcasting career.
Well, essentially what we're saying is Bobby Mack is a super scout.
That's what we're not really bringing light to, is that maybe Bobby Mack hit the nail on the head. But do you remember any of your scouting reports, any scathing scouting reports when you were coming out?
I never really saw any, but I'm sure they all said the same thing. Too small, not tough enough, not fast enough. Probably all the same.
Right.
Yeah, but 108 goals in junior might make up for that, or no?
Well, I was dumb enough to get drafted right before that year.
Ah.
So, and smart enough to sign my contract right before that year, too. I really knew how to negotiate that stuff out, huh?
Wow. So you scored 108 after getting some money in the bank?
Oh, my big bonus. I got 20 grand.
Wow. Times have changed.
Oh, just think of that. 20 grand. I was the richest guy I'd ever met.
Well,
for 20 grand.
It's the greatest feeling walking that check into the bank. Like you think you own the bank.
I thought, but so I bought a car, and in mid-July, I bought a Toyota Celica. And in mid-July, I had to get money from my dad because I didn't realize I had to pay my agent and car insurance. I don't know who I thought paid that stuff, but I didn't have any money to put gas in the car. It's like, oh, big league player, right?
Eh? Yeah. Hilarious. Park that thing, boy. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. What a dummy I was.
Well, but every guy was like that. I played with a guy named Kevin St. Jacques, and he showed up at the bar one night, and he's like, I just signed with Chicago. Drinks are on me. He had no money on him. We had to loan him money. Like,
he's a big shooter.
It's true, man. And the thing is, you talk about times changing. Like, you got 20 grand back then. Now, any of these players this week that get drafted, seventh round, sixth round, if they sign,
they're
making a minimum, what, 250 or something like that. Like, minimum, yeah. 250.
My first, I got a check for, I think, 200 or 250, my first signing bonus. And my mom and dad were in the room with me. I gave it to my mom, and she put it in her purse. She held on to that purse like it was her firstborn.
Oh, yeah.
Just think of the security in there. It's in your mom's purse. That thing is going nowhere.
Nowhere.
No dice.
Just once in my career, I want, like when I was making really good money, I wanted to just cash my check at the bank in cash and just go nuts.
Walk around with it in a briefcase. I played with a guy who cashed his check and had it in a briefcase.
Let me guess, Casperitis.
No, that's another. I mean, Ray, you played with Casper.
Casper could have done that.
Yeah, he spent it all before he could get it to the briefcase, so it really wouldn't. That didn't apply. No, it was a guy in the minors. He played in Oshawa. His name Ian Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
Really good player, and Fraz, he was like the coolest dude ever, but he cashed his check and had a bunch of cash at the bar in a briefcase. Wanted to do that.
What's the point? But I guess, I don't know. It's a story.
It was a story, right? Exactly.
He survived it. It's the draft week. You talk about having a different approach to the draft in Toronto compared to the previous 3 years. It is night and day, right? It's like last year, obviously, we had been talking about the draft for 12 months, and when the Leafs won the lottery, every day we were talking about Matthews versus Laine, and if it's Matthews, how does he fit in, and what does that mean for the Stamkos pursuit? Everything circled through the draft. The year before, same thing. It was McDavid's draft, so leading up to the lottery, it was all about that. Once we knew the Leafs were picking fourth, it was Marner versus Hanifin versus Provorov. We couldn't stop talking about it. The year before, the same thing to an extent, because we figured maybe Nylander, maybe Ehlers, Nick Ritchie. Now the Leafs are picking 17th. They're a playoff team. They're expected to get better or keep improving in the future. And the draft, it's just not resonating the same way it has in previous years. In terms of the buzz, people are more concerned about what kind of trades they're going to make.
I actually had to, like, shake my head a second. Oh, yeah, the draft this week. I've just been focused in on what Vegas is doing and what trades might happen. And you're like, oh, yeah, the draft's on Friday. Like, it's, when is anything going to overpower the entry draft like this has? And it's really quite amazing. Like, I think it must be difficult to compartmentalize in these offices, and they have to, about, okay, the first thing is we got to come up with our protected list. Then we got to come up and see if we can come up with a trade with Vegas to leave one of our guys alone that we don't want to. Wait a minute, we don't want to give them another asset. So now we got to go back and forth here. Now, once those picks are made, is there any trades that we can make with Vegas to improve our team, since the protected list now doesn't matter? Then we get into free agency. Oh, wait a minute, the draft's in the way of free agency. Like, it's really a stockpiled 2 weeks. It's really quite amazing what's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's difficult to get a read on how it's going to play out in terms of the trades that go through Vegas, because the belief is, and none of this is fact, we won't know until tomorrow night, that Anaheim has a deal in place with Vegas, or multiple deals, to avoid them losing Vatanen and Manson on the back end. Two good defensemen, top four guys, young guys who would help a lot of teams in the league, including the team here in Toronto. But the belief is a deal's in place where it's not going to happen. Vegas will take another player. Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, tweeted this out about 10 minutes ago, that there is also considerable speculation that Minnesota has or will have a deal with Vegas to lay off Scandell and Dumba in exchange for a prospect.
This is just grossing you out, isn't it?
Well, it is, because we've been speculating, and it's our own fault. We've been doing it. It's not like the league has mandated this or Vegas has mandated this. But for months, right, we've been talking about how these teams can't possibly keep all these guys. Where now it's starting to feel as if they will, in fact, keep all the players they were concerned about losing. And if that happens, where do the trade rumors go from there?
Well, don't you think that the whole process comes down to when Vegas makes their selections, how are they bartering one team off another because the protection list doesn't matter anymore? Because now, like, I'm sure teams wanted to make deals. The Montreal deal is a great example of it. If Montreal was interested in, or rather, if Tampa was interested in Jonas Brodin, and I know that they liked him because a lot of teams do, they couldn't make that deal because they would have had to protect Brodin. That's why Sergachev became such an attractive player to acquire. But for Toronto, Dirk easily could be, since we're in this market, you could easily look at Dumba. You could look at Brodin. You could look at Scandella. You could look at one of the Anaheim guys. There's a half a dozen D that are available, perhaps, that never would be again. And those are the guys that Vegas will select and then flip through.
But
those are the deals that are sitting there. It's just, how much do you have to give up? Because, you know, McPhee's sitting there with his feet up on his desk and saying, yeah, come again. I need more.
Well, I would expect that, and that's what I was hoping for, Ray. But I'm not. It sounds to me, just based on the statements coming out of McPhee, is that he's being very diplomatic, and he's treating this almost the same way the league has historically treated offer sheets. Like, we're not going to do it. We're not going to screw you over. In a statement a couple of days ago, Vegas came out and said, we'll give you ample opportunities to keep your players. And if they're working out deals so that you can keep your players, it's not even going to get to a third party.
Well, I don't know. Making out the deals or making the deals, there was like the guys did it yesterday. I think Craig and Frank did it. If they had Fleury and Nett and Mathot and Dumba and Manson and Enstrom and these, like, they just showed the goalie and the D, and I looked at it, and Grubauer as a backup, I'm like, how the hell is that not a bad place to start? It was legit.
Yeah, well, James Neal up front.
I think, Brian, sorry, to what you said about, you know, he said, you know, everybody's going to have the chance of, you know, of keeping their team together. Well, of course they are. You know, good for you. You want to keep it together, it's going to cost you. Nobody's doing anybody too many favors here. Like, put it this way, if George McPhee is going to lay off players because he's a good guy, then I don't think he's very smart.
Yeah.
And I think George is very smart. I think they are in a fantastic position, and they've found a way to leverage this whole week into a position where they're in front and the teams are chasing them. They're chasing Vegas to try and make the best deal they can so they can keep their team intact. And Vegas has just got the doors open and saying, come on and tell me what you got. I think they're in an amazing position. I'd rather be Vegas than probably four or five teams at least in the NHL right now. They have no bad contracts. They have no iffy culture that they've got to deal with. They're not paying guys off their cap to stay away. They've got none of that yet. So they're in a terrific spot. I think I believe they will have upwards of 20 picks in the next two drafts. And their pipeline in 3 years will start to show some of the benefits of these kids drafted this year that will be now close to 20 years old that you might see start pushing for NHL jobs.
I agree with you, and they should be in a position where they can pounce for $500 million. If I was the owner, I would demand that as well. But I guess we'll find out once we hear the price. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, let's say Josh Manson, using him as an example. Good player. I mean, he's not a superstar. Sometimes these guys get talked up too much. Good player. But if it turns out that Anaheim has flipped a second rounder to keep him, that won't add up to me.
No, it's
because
he
can get a lot more on the open market. Like, I wouldn't believe for a second that Montreal,
right-handed shot D that can move the puck, play physical. No kidding.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if Anaheim keeps Vatanen and Manson, I would expect they're giving up multiple picks, multiple prospects,
and a first rounder, that type of stuff.
But like the Minnesota conversation. Now, I don't know which prospect it is, and they're loaded with good prospects.
Right.
But Bob was tweeting that the speculation is, don't touch Dumba and Scandella, and we'll give you a prospect. Now, it could be more than that. Who knows? But if it's one prospect to avoid taking a good defenseman, that will seem a little bit fishy to me, Ray.
Yeah, I guess depends who the prospect is. Now, I would guess, you know, I don't know Minnesota's prospect pool in and out, but they had the four forwards at the World Juniors last year, Eriksson Ek, Cunning, Greenway, Kaprizov, and they've got Alex Tuck, who was a first-rounder the year before. They've got five forwards. It would seem to me it would be one of those five guys, because that's obviously a position of strength. I don't know what they're like on the D. I don't know their whole roster pool. But those would be – I know the Minnesota guys better than others because I just watched them all at the World Juniors, or four of the five of them. Tuck was there the year before. If that's enough, then maybe the prices aren't as astronomical as we might imagine.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to you talking about George McPhee. Like, I think he's a shrewd businessman. Like, I would be shocked if he is rolling over and playing the diplomat. If anything, I think he's a pretty hardline guy. And everyone jokes around about the Martin Irat for Forsberg deal. That happens. I think every general manager has one on their docket that they would like back. But I think McPhee's a smart guy. And to Brian, your point, like, if it comes up where he's not gotten full value in our minds anyways, or a lot of people's minds for a lot of these players, that's shame on him. But I don't see him. They've hired a lot of smart people in Vegas. And I think they're going to do it right. The unfortunate part that we're seeing now is we're not in the know. The NBA, it's left and right. We're seeing all these deals. It would be exciting for us to know kind of what's on the table, but that's not the case in the NHL.
Well, we're going to find out quick, though, because, you know, tomorrow I think we'll probably all be excited about the list, but really it's what comes past that list that's going to be the next level of it, right? Because McPhee said today he's going to have a few picks. He says, I don't want to call them throwaway picks, but that's what they are. They're going to draft a few restricted free agents, not offer them a contract. So that'll take their player pool from 30 down probably towards 25 somewhere. They signed the one Russian free agent, Shipachev. That bumps them back the other way. They signed a couple more. They're going to have probably they've got to put together 40 guys, basically, for an American League prospect pool. The draft picks are all going to be back in junior. There's a lot going on here, and I'm sure they're paddling pretty fast in Vegas to stay ahead of the curve. But it's going to be super interesting in the next couple of days, and it'll be super interesting to see what these trades are and what a team like Toronto or a team like Montreal can try and weasel out of this. You know, what can they get out of somebody else's problem? Because once the protected problem is gone, then it's gone forever.
Right.
You know, like, once Minnesota deals with their defenseman or Anaheim deals with their defenseman over the next 2 days, whether it's that player's picked to Vegas and then traded on, then they don't have to deal with it anymore. So it's a really crucial time for the other GMs as well.
Should be a blast over the next week and a half. We'll do it again tomorrow, 5 p.m. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, do you have any more scouting reports out that we should read about?
That's the best one, probably. That's the problem.
Oh. That was flattering.
Yeah.
Well, got you to fifth, though. Could have got you to first.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I will say, I was having a coffee this morning, and I did read that, and I might have laughed loudly enough that Cammy said, "What are you laughing at?" And I said, "Read this scouting report."
A legitimate scouting report, not The Onion.
Yeah,
Bob like McKenzie.
Bob McKenzie in the Hockey News.
She's like, "Whoa, that's a pretty harsh report." I'm like, "Yeah, I know.
Fifth overall, man. It's a cruel world sometimes."